But maybe before we start, let's just have a short prayer, just as we are, to ask for the presence of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are here today to learn more about you. Lord, we want to seek and know your face. Lord, I want to ask that not my words are spoken here, but that you speak through me. Lord, take every influence aside that would distract us. Lord, open our hearts and our ears so that we might let your truth in and that we might be changed. Lord, we know that time is short. We're in the last period of this earth's history. And we want to ask that you might prepare us, that we might not be busy doing our own business, but that we might be busy doing your business, Lord. This we ask in your name. Amen. All right, so I want to start off with a question. My question is, do you think it's important to distinguish between original and copy? Do you think so? So, we're talking here about original copy. We're talking about deception, really, okay? Because if I were to tell you, do you want my wallet, and I were to give you my tie, you know, that wouldn't be deceiving, really, right? But if I would give you, I don't know, a wallet out of plastic that could not be open, right? It would be more a deception. So I was wondering, okay, let's see how good you are in distinguishing between the original and copy, okay? So I brought some images here, and I want you, so I have one question. Is it possible to open the PowerPoint instead of the PDF? Okay, so let's see. If that doesn't work, it's no problem. My stick. Okay, Bea. In the meantime, we know, or we can see that what makes an original and a copy, right? It's something that is very similar, like to the original. The closer the copy is to the original, the more deceptive it is, right? Because you think you're buying something that is legitimate, when in reality, you're in for something that is really, not the real deal. Okay, so we'll see if it's possible. If not, that's no problem. To open the PowerPoint instead of the PDF. Let's see for a minute. I think that would be much more. Yeah, the thing is, I'm already giving you the right answers, and I wanted to know how good you are, and because I inserted it. So, is it possible to open it, Martin? Do you have PDF? No. PowerPoint? Okay. All right. Okay. So, okay. Too bad. So I was wondering, so you can kind of just tell yourself, would you have known or not? So the first one is here, and, that works. Yeah, perfect. Okay. Thank you, Martin. So, which one do you think is the original and which one is the copy? That was pretty tricky, huh? Okay, let's see. Who thinks that the left one is the original? Okay, who thinks that the right one is the original? Oh, okay, let's see. So, the right one is the original and the left one is the copy. Wow, would you have guessed? I mean, that is so tricky. Okay, I've got something here for the woman. I'm not good with answers. I have no idea. So to all the women, tell me which one is the original, which one is the copy. I have no idea. This is so tricky, huh? I mean, they just look alike, right? Like, this is so similar. Like, you could sell me any of those, you know? I was saying, that's the real deal, you know? Okay, let's see. So just think for yourself which one you think is the right one, and here's the solution. Oh, would you have known? Okay, next one. something for the men. This is maybe a little bit more easy because I think it's a kind of like a cheap copy. It's a cheap fake. Which one's the fake one? Yeah, the left one is the copy. Nice. All right. Okay. So this one's a little bit more easy, huh? This is something we use daily, right? So which one is the copy? Which one's the original? I think some guys of you are already seeing like, something you see here on the top. Like, this is not how it's supposed to be, is it? Nah. Okay, so you got it. The right one is the copy and the left one is the original. Okay, and the last one? Oh, this is, can you guys see me? This is a little bit more tricky. Oh, this is something we use every day, more or less, huh? So can you distinguish? What's the copy? What's the original? They are so similar, isn't it? Like, you could be fooled so quickly, huh? Yeah, the upper one is the copy, right? Because it doesn't reflect. And the lower one reflects. All right. So, yeah, this church, you're pretty good in distinguishing between the original and the copy. But do you know that in the Bible, we also have originals and copy? In other words, we're talking about like the real deal and a fake, okay? So I want to invite you to open up Matthew chapter 7. I want to invite you to open up Matthew chapter 7. And I guess that I'm pretty sure that you know this story in the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. So I read from the New King James Version. And it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." So in other words here, what it's saying here is that there are prophets who are the originals, the real deal prophets sent by God, but then there are also prophets who are not sent by God, who are kind of a copy or a fake. And in fact it says here, beware of them because they are so similar. You know, it's just like in the pictures we saw. So we can see from the Bible that there are true prophets and that there are false prophets. But the Bible doesn't end here. We can find many more copy and originals. For example, we can go to Revelation chapter 3. I want to invite you to go there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you." So this is much more daring. This is not just talking about prophets. This is actually talking about Jews. It says that there are wrong Jews. And you know that we, transferring from the Old Testament to the New Testament, are the spiritual Jewish people. So we can say that there are true Jews or true Christians, and then there are false Jews and false Christians. And it goes even on. You can find a copy for everything. We just saw that there are originals, original prophets, original Christians or Jews, spiritual Jews. And there are fakes, there are a copy, and there is a fake for everything. Like, if you want to go to Satan, he's going to give you a fake for literally anything that God made what is original and good. So, we know that there are different days of worship, and I'm not going to go too much to it, and I want just to tell you, if you're here maybe for the first time, or if you're still a visitor, study it for yourself. which day is the day of worship that we ought to worship. But there is, I'm just telling you, there is a fake for literally everything you can imagine that God made. And as we saw in these pictures, these fakes are not fakes like, oh yeah, I know that that is a fake. This is not going to be an issue for me. Like, could you even distinguish, like, not, I couldn't even distinguish, like, the handbags and stuff, right, from the images that we just saw. So, deception means it is so close. It looks so similar. But behind it is actually, it will be a big deception going for the wrong thing. So there is a fake for literally everything or almost anything. But we want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And this will be maybe the most interesting or maybe even scary, you could say in some sense, thing that, that we can find. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we want to read verses 3 and 4. And here the apostle writes, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus," so saying that there is an original Jesus and there is another one, a fake or a copy, "whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." So here it says that there is an original and there is a copy. There is an original Jesus, and then there is a fake Jesus, you could say. There is an original spirit, or you could also say Holy Spirit, and there is a counterpart spirit, or Holy Spirit, and just the same as with the gospel. There is the true gospel, and then there is the false gospel. And you know, when I was younger, I heard a lot about one deception that, you know, I couldn't wrap my head around. You know, how is this going to be? And this is maybe the grand deception between copy and original that the Bible tells us about. And this is what we already read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. And it says, "For such are false apostles," so true and false, copy and original, "deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And now in verse 14, it says, you want to follow? It says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." So the Bible says that Satan himself is trying to impersonate an angel of light to deceive as many of it were possible. And so we can see that there is a true angel of light, which is Jesus, and then there is a false angel of light, which is Satan. And of course, Satan himself, he always wants to esteem, he wanted to have that place of Christ. So this is not a surprise, you know, to us that Satan himself, he wants to be that angel of light, right? So let's read further and let's see what else the Bible says about, you know, this final deception. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. Thank you. 2 Thessalonians. So from 2 Corinthians to 2 Thessalonians. And here we want to read in chapter 2. Am I going too fast? Is it okay? All right. So let's read from verse 1 to verse 10. And here it's written, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin, who is the man of sin? Satan is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God, pay attention where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but in truth, of course, he is not God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And now verse 10 it says, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So here it says that Satan himself would put himself in the temple of God wanting worship, and will be very similar to Christ as he will transform himself into an angel of light. So Ellen White, a founder of the Adventist Church, she basically says the same thing as the Bible, but extends a little bit on it, what is just, you know, you could say almost common sense. She says, Satan will work wonders before man to make the world believe him to be Christ, come the second time to our world. He will transform himself into an angel of light. Did we just read that? Yes, right? But while he bears the appearance in every particular, as far as appearance goes, he is not Christ. Wow. So there will be one last deception, one last test, you could say, in which Satan will transform himself into an angel of light, just looking from the appearance like Christ. And you know, I was always wondering, thinking like, man, like if this is the case, like how are we supposed to pass this test? I mean, just looking at the pictures, you know, from these, I don't know, iPhones or bags or money copies, you know, even that is so different, difficult to distinguish the copy and the original. Like how are we supposed to do that? Excuse me. I was you know, just wrapping my mind around it, you know, how are we like we, you know, we are human, you know. The Bible says God knows that our strength is little and we are weak. How is this supposed to be that we can pass this test? So this summer I had some interesting experience which kind of gave me small insight, you know, how can we actually pass this final test. So this summer, some of you know that I lived for 2 years in Latvia. So Latvia is more to the Eastern Europe. It gets quite cold there in winter. So this summer they had a mission trip there in Latvia, so I decided to join. And for maybe the first time I had quite a lot of contact with twins. I'm wondering, who here has friends who are twins, or maybe has ever, maybe you are even a twin, I don't know. Eineiisch, how do you call that? Identical twins. Thank you so much if you have an identical twin. So this summer, you know, I first, you know, met two identical twins who also went to this mission trip, and they allowed me to show you a photo. They sent me a photo for the sermon. So this is Sanita and Santa, and you can see they look quite similar, okay? So this mission trip was for 1 week only, and in the beginning, you know, I could really not distinguish them at all. I was like, oh man, you know, is that her or her? So one of them, you know, they shared a testimony, you know, how God enabled them to go to this mission trip, you know, how God helped them financially to pay for all of this. And so afterwards, you know, I came to her and I said, man, thank you so much for sharing your testimony, right? And so then she turns to the left, you know, to her sister, and she says, like, Alex wants to say thank you for your testimony. And I'm like, oh boy, okay, perfect. I have 50-50 chance, and I even messed it up, huh? So I couldn't really distinguish them in the beginning. You know, they looked so similar. But what was interesting, at the end of the week, you know, I came to one of them, and I said, you know, Santa? And she's like, no, man, Alex, I'm Sanita. And I'm like, what? No, that's not possible. You're so much like Santa. So I went to her sister. I'm like, I know that she's not fooling with me. So after 1 week, you know, just getting to know them, they, in the beginning, I couldn't distinguish them. After 1 week, I think they couldn't be even more different, you know, which is so interesting. And that was the first time I had this experience. And then, you know, the thought came to me. I was like, man, you know, this is, you know, how we're supposed to be able to pass the final test. I'm not saying that, you know, one is an original and one is a copy. You know, they're both originals, okay? But just to transfer this, you know, Satan is going to want to do the same thing. He wants to just look like Jesus, be like Jesus from the outside, you know, but from the inside, he's really not. And the only way that we can pass this final test is just like in this example, is getting to know the original. The better, I realized that the better you knew the original from the photos, the easier it was to distinguish the copy from the original. And the only way we can pass the final test is knowing Jesus. And as you probably know, in John 17, verse 3, we can go there real quick. In John 17, verse 3, it says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So here the Bible says, this is eternal life. Knowing God, getting to know Him, this is eternal life, starting already even today, getting to know God. Because with God, it's not like you can get to know Him and you're like, ah, okay, you know, now I know God. His character and His person is so profound that we can spend an eternity getting to know God better. So if you want to pass this final test, this deception that will be perfect in any way, is to know the original. You have to know Jesus in order to distinguish, you know, who is the true Jesus and who is the fake Jesus. So if we go to Jeremiah, we can find a promise in Jeremiah chapter 29. Usually most people know Jeremiah 29:11, but we can go to Jeremiah 29 verse 13. It says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart." That is the promise that God is giving to you. God is saying, if you will search me from all your heart, I will let myself be found by you. So God says, you can get to know me. And if we open up Hebrews 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So how can we get to know? How can we get to know Jesus? How can we get to know our Savior? And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it gives us one way how to get to know Jesus better. And it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So if you want to get to know Jesus, one way to get to know the Lord is through His Word. You can get to know not even the experiences that you yourself make with God, but even that other people have made with God and have shown, sparkled light upon the character of God. So, what can happen, if we don't read the Word daily, if we don't want to know God, but we still want to be, in the synagogue of the fake Jews, you could say. Have you ever seen of this movie? I have known it by Jean from the Portuguese church. I think he showed it here once. And this is a very interesting example that shows if we don't know God, how we can be deceived so easily by the enemy. And so this is a story, unfortunately it's a true story, of a prayer group in the United States. And they prayed at CRLs in the newspaper, this family here. So they prayed, they wanted to see an angel. Just for seeing an angel, maybe you have heard about this story, and an angel actually appears, and this angel draws them further and further away from God and from the Bible, from His principles. And so after some time, this angel says, God has a mission for you. You're supposed to go to the shop and just take something without paying, and I will blind everyone so that no one can see what you're doing, And you might think, man, this is a wake-up call, But this deception is so subliminal. It is so close, to the original. And so they go, and then it goes on, and then in the end of the story, unfortunately ends that the angel, you probably already, guess that this is not an angel of God, but this is an angel of Satan, which we also call demons, right? And so then the angel says, God wants you to, they call it, terminate the neighbor, because they are possessed. And so they go and shoot one person. They kill one person. Another person is paralyzed, paraplegic. And of course, they end up in jail. So it's not like this deception is so obvious, It's not like, oh yeah, okay, I don't know, this wouldn't be a problem for me. It's so close to the original that we have to know the original in order to distinguish between what is true and what is false, the original and the fake. And if we go to 1 John, so how can we know? How can we know that we truly, know God? If we go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It gives us one characteristic of those who know God. It says, "And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So the only way we can pass this final test is by knowing Jesus and knowing Him through His Scripture. But sometimes we are quite busy, right, with our own life. I remember one experience I had, which was really interesting, while I was still living in Koh Simon, near Dieburg. I was, maybe 15, 16 years old. And sometimes I just used to go to some pet shops. Have you ever been to a pet shop? You know, they have all these cool reptiles and fish and stuff, you know, like this. And so I remember that I used to go to a pet shop in Großzimmern. And that was a very interesting experience. I went there, and as I was going to these reptile cages, you know, there were also, so there was like a mom with her child. The child, I don't know, was maybe 3-4 years old. And so I was standing next to the child, also looking, you know, into this containers, cages, you know, what can I find, you know, the chameleon or something like this. And I realized that the child next to me is looking like so intensely, so interested, you know, in what is there. So I was standing there, you know, next to this child, okay. The mom, you know, was holding the child's hand, but she was moving on, you know, they were there already for some time, so she was moving on to the next one. So the child let go of the mom's hand, you know. And yeah, so I was next to him, and I also wanted to move on, so I made like a small circle around him, and I stood in the place where my mom was before, you know. So I stand there, you know, looking at those reptiles and all this stuff, and suddenly I felt that somebody is taking my hand, you know. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? Oh, who's this? So I looked down, and the small child, you know, is grabbing my hand, but the child is not looking up to me, you know. He's still so focused about, you know, what's going on in there with these animals and so on, that he's just taking my hand, not realizing that it's me, you know. And so I'm there, you know, the child has my hand in his hand, and I'm like, okay, I take a look at the mom, you know, how is she dealing with this, you know. And I look to the mom, and I see that she's smiling, you know, and I was like, okay, cool, let's see, let's just go with it, and let's see where this is going to end, okay? So I stand there for about, I don't know, maybe 1 minute, you know, having the child's hands in my hands. And after 1 minute, then the child finally wants to move on, you know, and he looks up to his mom, you know, and who's there? Oh boy, you know, who's this guy? You know? So this guy, the small child, was looking to me, and they're like, well, this is not my mom. So he begins to cry and look for his mom. Oh, there my mom is. So he runs, you know, and hugs his mom. But that was such an object lesson for me to understand that we can be in the same danger as this child, you know, that we are so busy with this world, you know, with our lives, with, you know, man, I've got this to do, I've got that to do, and so on, that we might just let go of God's hand and not even realize. And that is the perfect moment. That is the moment that, you know, Satan has been waiting for. Oh, finally he has got let go of Jesus' hand. So he wants to take the place of Jesus, just like in the last deception. He wants to look like, he wants to impersonate Jesus just the same way, but he is not him. And so we are, you know, in the same danger. But just as the mom was never far off, so Jesus is never far off in your life, you know. I've been reading or audio listening to a really great book that I can recommend to you. It's called The Desire of Ages. And in this book, Ellen White, she writes, you know, when Mary and Joseph, did you know that they lost sight of Jesus? Yes. When they went to the Passover the first time, you know, and then they think, okay, Jesus must be around somewhere, and they go back and like, man, where's Jesus? You know, and she writes that they looked for him, but they didn't find him immediately. It took them 3 days, you know, until they found him. And again, and it may be the same in your life. Maybe you have been far off from Jesus. Maybe you have been very busy, you know, doing other stuff and have lost sight of him. And sometimes it takes some time to find him, but he is never far off and waiting for us to come back to him. I don't know your life. I cannot see your heart. Only God can see your heart. I know some of you as friends, but the only one who really knows you is Jesus. And he knows how your life is. Maybe you're struggling with things. Maybe things are going pretty good, you know. But maybe you're fighting. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're saying, man, you know, why is this happening to me? So I want to share one experience in the end. So some weeks ago there was the ANAT conference that also I met also some friends in Baden-Württemberg. So it was on Michelsberg, like a small mountain. And I was planning my trip back to Kiel. It's like almost Denmark, and so I was thinking, okay, let's just go by night. You know, the ticket is cheaper, I will have to drive through night anyway if I leave on Sunday, because it takes, I don't know, maybe 8, 9, sometimes 10 hours, you know, with Deutsche Bahn. So the conference was finished maybe around 2, 3 o'clock. You know, my train was going at 10 o'clock in the evening. So I was just looking, you know, if I can still help there or something. And I was asking somebody if they can drop me off at the train station. But somehow I just had a thought, man, you can just go and walk to the train station. You know, you have still 6 hours, nothing to do. You know, some exercise would be good, right? And so I was like, yeah, okay, maybe why not just walk? It was raining just a little bit, so that wasn't too bad. So I was, okay, I'm just going to walk to the train station. So I have to say, usually I'm more like an order person, structured. Usually I don't forget many things, but I don't know why I forgot my charging cable, my cell phone charging cable. And right, we're like so dependent on our cell phones, that's crazy. So I was like, okay, it's almost empty, so I'm just going to take a picture of the cart, you know, and just look where I have to go approximately. I have enough time, you know, just the right direction, I'll find it somehow, right? So I just go down, you know, walking down the mountain. It takes around half an hour to until I'm down there, and then I get finally down the mountain. And there's, you know, we always have these city signs, right? Which city you're going into? And then I get there and I look at the sign. I'm like, this is not the city I'm supposed to be in, you know. And I realize, oh man, I went down the wrong side of the mountain, you know, going exactly the opposite direction. I'm like, oh man. So I just walked down half an hour for nothing. Now I'm going to have to walk, you know, up the mountain for about half an hour, I guess, yeah. And I was like, oh man, you know, I just lost an hour. It's getting dark also soon, you know, and I have, you know, no cell phone, nothing, you know, how am I going to get there, you know? And I was like, oh man, well, you know, probably some more exercise, it looks like it, yeah. So I get down there, and somehow the thought comes to me, you know, there was just this image in my head, you know, just somebody passing by and taking me. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So I turn around, you know, ready to walk all the way up the mountain, you know, getting there. And all of a sudden, a car passes by, and I'm like, and then stops. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here, you know? Germans are usually not that, you know, hitchhiking friendly. I didn't even, you know, raise any hand, did not. I just, yeah, just stopped there and like, hey, can we take you? And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. I thought maybe it's better, you know, it's getting dark, and maybe they can just, you know, at least bring me up the mountain and I can start from point zero again, you know. And so I'm sitting there, yeah, where are you from? What are you doing? I'm like, yeah, there was this Adventist health conference. And so, oh, what do Adventists have to do with health and so on? So I tell them about Kellogg, you know, Kellogg's and so on, and the health message of Adventists and so forth. And then this guy, he asked me, well, what do you think about the C14 method? You know, so he's starting to get into this kind of scientific, you know, about evolution creation area. And I'm like, well, it's interesting, you know, what's going on here? And so I tell him a little bit about it. And then he's like, man, so when is your train going? I'm like, you know, it's going quite late in the evening. Like, okay, you come by to have some tea, you know, at our place. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And so I'm sitting there, you know, with them, and so they're just shooting, you know, one question after the other, you know, some I can answer, some not as well, and so they're just asking, I'm like, wow. And so they tell me, yeah, you know, we just left our evangelical church because our pastor, you know, believes in creation and stuff like this, you know, now I'm coming to them, you know, telling them maybe he was right, you know. So that was very interesting. But, you know, I was thinking that I was going into the wrong direction when I came down the mountain. You know, I was like, oh man, I just, you know, made a mistake, you know. I just went into the wrong direction, you know. But it turned out that God wanted me, you know, to be there at the bottom of the mountain so that they would pick me up and take me home with them and, you know, being able to answer some questions. So, you know, maybe you also feel like, oh man, my life is just going into the wrong direction, you know. Maybe you have a story like Joseph where you think like, man, why is that happening to me, you know. But maybe God wants you to be there. Just like He wanted me to be at the bottom of the mountain on the wrong side. Just like He wanted Joseph to be there in Egypt to save his family. You also, you know, might be there because God has a purpose for you. So, whatever we do, let us not get too busy, you know, with this world, that we might lose Jesus out of our focus. Just like this child, when we do have let go of Jesus' hand and realized, man, I am not where God would want me to be, that we look for Him, and let me tell you, He is never far off. Just like this mom of the child was waiting there and standing, waiting for her child to come to her all the time, so is Jesus there, waiting for you. And this is the appeal I want to make, just for you, for yourself. You know where you are with your in your relationship with life. Maybe your life is going pretty good, saying, hey, you know, everything's going not too bad. Why do I not, do this and this? I want to ask you to tell you, don't lose Jesus out of your sight. But if you have problems, if you're struggling, you feel life, if you're thinking, man, Lord, why am I here? You know, I would not have deserved this, you know. Why, I cannot see, I cannot understand. Why am I supposed to be here where I am? God might want you to be just at that place so that you might be a blessing to other people. So these are the appeals I want to make to you. Take some time. Study the Bible regularly. Take time for Jesus so that He might be in the first place of your life. So that the final decision, the final deception that we will be facing, we might know who is the fake and who is the original, because we know the real deal, because we know Jesus personally.